Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
Is your boat registered and insured for the summer season? Most boats must have proof of insurance on board and be properly registered with bow numbers and stickers. Take the Utah Boating or Coast Guard Auxiliary courses and you just might get a discount on your insurance. For a copy, call 801-538-BOAT. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family for 12 months from date of purchase. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
Faster Utah empowers teachers, administrators, and other school staff to defend themselves in case of a school shooting. We teach advanced firearms and trauma first aid skills. Graduates of the Faster program pass the same post-qualification shoot as Utah law enforcement. For more information and find out how you can help, go to fasterutah.org.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends on Skype. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Put on your helmet. Let's go.
But, Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet, too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
This year, give the gift of fun. Come to Sportsman's Warehouse to check off your Christmas shopping list. At Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find the gifts that keep on giving. Products your family and friends can use throughout the year in all their outdoor pursuits. Whether their passion is hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, or anything in between, Sportsman's Warehouse has the perfect gift. Still can't decide? A gift card is always a favorite if it's from Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Kindness. It's a single smile, a thoughtful word, a small, unexpected gesture. Whatever the act may be, it's something we call kindness. Yet sometimes in such a chaotic world, people forget the power that kindness holds. Kindness can brighten a moment, lift someone's spirits, Turn a bad day into a good story. Kindness can make someone's week, or month, or year. Kindness can restore faith in humanity. And some say it can even make us healthier. All with a simple, small, perhaps unseen or anonymous act. So, think about this. What would happen if a small act of kindness sparked another small act of kindness, and then another, and another, and another? What if kindness became contagious? And all the small gestures done by many would make an impact felt around the nation, around the world. Imagine that power. And all it takes is one kind act a day.
Hunter joins us on the shoreline once again with Utah's boating program. Thank you for taking a few minutes with us.
Hey, thanks, Brian, and thanks, everybody, to be out there and listen to me again. Hopefully we can get some type of knowledge out there for our fall and entering into our winter season for all of our boaters.
I am looking forward to it. It's been quite the fun boating season. It was really nice to have some decent water levels this past year.
Really, really good. And I'm really hoping Mother Nature will throw us another great year. I know some of our projections, they're throwing a, can't remember if it was an El Nino or an El Nino, but anyway, they're throwing out the forecast. It's almost like the weather rock. You just go outside and see what's happening. But I really hope with those forecasts we get a little bit more snowpack and help bring these reservoirs to their full level and give us a pretty good runoff.
It's been a dry, hot summer. And I was just planting a few bushes not too many days ago, and if it's a place I haven't been watering normally, it was bone dry. We could, sir, use the precipitation. It's nice to see a little coming our way.
Pretty crazy. You're in November, and you're like, I might have to water my trees.
I'm actually doing that now. I want to give them one good drink before it freezes up.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. Most of my education was forestry-based, and we never really had to think about watering in the winter, but over this long-lasting drought, that's why a lot of our trees that are 1 to 3 years old just basically die, or even a little bit older, is because they're just lack of water in the wintertime. So let's hopefully we can move past that. We can have oodles of water and keep edging ourselves outside of this drought. Get rid of the D word.
I sure would love to see that. Actually, I was just looking at the drought index, and we are starting to creep back into that abnormally dry and drought conditions again throughout the state. And we were good for a little bit, but with a hot, dry summer, it's creeping back again.
You can hear the professionals, and I won't claim that I'm one of those in this realm, but they basically say is one good winter is not going to get us out. This is going to have to be a climatic change. And I think we're getting little tidbits that help us and keep prolonging and keep us out of that severe state of it, but we need a climatic change, get us a little bit more water, and have it in the form of snowfall, especially for our high elevation areas. That's what gives us our water throughout the summer.
It truly does. It makes all the difference in the world, and it certainly helps keep things green and makes a difference on those fires, too. I know the duck hunters are certainly excited. I see a lot of them hanging out at Provo Bay every morning when I come by and in the evening, too. 2 years ago, that was dry. It was pretty quiet. But now, there's tons of boats out there. There's tons of vehicles right there before the break of dawn, and they are out there in full force.
Yeah, but I'm seeing the same thing you're seeing with that. That's part of the reason why we want to talk a little bit today. But I think part of that is we're talking about duck hunters. And I think our traditional boaters need to be looking. Our temperatures have been extremely mild this fall. We've had a little teeny cold snap with some pretty good freezes, but we need to start thinking about winterization, and then we can start talking about those duck hunters, what those duck hunters need to be expecting.
Let's talk about winterization. We're starting to see those cold temperatures return again, and if you don't take care of your boat now, take care of things properly, start winterizing them, and take care of the things, you may have some bills to take care of in the spring.
Yeah, I mean, you hear plenty of things. Boat stands for bring on another thousand. Well, that will be the case if you do not winterize your boat properly. If you don't know what to do, I would say get an appointment and get it into an authorized, I should say to a marine shop, your typical vehicle, car shop. A guy might know a little bit, but this may not know everything that needs to be done. So I would get to an authorized marine technician that has the training and know-how to get that boat properly winterized and put it to where you're not going to have any water left in your systems that'll break manifolds, do anything within your cooling system where that water will freeze and expand and break those parts. And then the other one, too, is you got to start looking at what do you do with your trailer. You take a little bit of a load off of your tires if you're going to be a longer standing storage. Look at those things and keep it out of the snow. And if you don't have a great covered place to put it, make sure you pull your plugs. Make sure you try to put some type of a cover over it to try to keep that water to sheet off of the boat instead of being stored in the boat, because that just wreaks havoc on everything.
Yes, it does. You'll be paying repairs down the way. And if you got something that you know is a problem now coming into the fall, coming at the end of the season, it's a good time, if you got an appointment with that shop, that marine specialist, maybe you can schedule some additional time to take care of those problems now so that in the spring you don't have to get in line again.
Yeah, I totally agree there. I think it's great to have it addressed at this point in time. And they may even have a winterization and a de-winterization program that you can basically buy into if you wanted to with that. When we come spring, we're going to be talking about de-winterizing your boat, doing those checks, and getting that boat ready to run for the next year. And that's just part of being a boat owner. It's the most wonderful time of the year. We're moving into the holidays. We're seeing the weather change. We may have snow and everything there, but it means that our boating season is actually in northern Utah coming to an end. Southern Utah folks, they may be able to get a few more visits or a whole lot of visits to the waterways down there, but it's going to be the little cooler temps. But still, I think just take good care of your boats and do the right things.
Agreed. Life jackets, same thing. Make sure they're fully dry. I know some folks put them away, and in the springtime, they're covered with a fun mold.
Yeah, good little black spots that start showing up everywhere. That's just not great. And then you just get that nasty smell. Kind of smells like a bad kitchen washcloth, if I can put that smell into your nose. We've all smelt it, so let's just make sure we take care of that most important piece of safety equipment you can have, your life jackets. Take them out of the boat, put them someplace inside where they can be hung up out of the sun and be dry and just ready for use for the next year.
It's a critical piece of equipment, and they're getting better and better all the time, very comfortable, fantastic camo patterns for those duck hunters out there right now. And right now is a great time to purchase a new one if you're due for a new one, whether it be sizes or just different styles. End of the season clearance options are always good for me. I've always been taking advantage of them every season.
Yeah, that's a great point to put in there. It may be this year's model, but I think a deal's a deal. And especially with the expensive items that are out there currently now, take the deal. Look at it. They're great jackets that are out there. Make sure that you do go through, read the labels. Make sure that they are a Coast Guard-approved life jacket. Make sure that they are approved for that activity. And it states on there that this is a ski vest, and it's approved for that. It doesn't have a circle and a line through it where it looks like it has a ski rope. That's not a towable jacket. For those that are running whitewater, they want to make sure they have a jacket that's approved for whitewater, and that it does not have a circle and a crosshatch through it with a whitewater symbol. Just know and do a little bit of homework on what the labels are saying. And if you don't know, ask us. Ask us. You can reach out to us at boating@utah.gov. Really simple thing. You reach out to that email, and We will help answer your question and do the best we can in guiding you in the right direction for a great jacket.
That's true. You got a great team over there, people willing to point people in the right direction anytime.
Yes, sir.
This is a great time to pick up those jackets. I've never noticed the fish to care, nor do the ducks seem to care how old my jacket is. As long as it's on me, that's all that matters. So it's never affected my success.
Yeah. That's it. They don't care with that. I guess the only ones there is maybe the more vain individuals, and your fish and your ducks are not that vain. So does a black jacket save your life better than a blue jacket? No. It's just your personal opinion and what you want. Or red, pink, purple, whatever you want to say with that. So their main thing is that if they fit you and fit you properly, they're going to save your life. They're going to buy you time and circumstances that when you need assistance to get back out of the water and get to a place of safety.
All righty then, let's take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. When we return, we're heading out to the marsh with Mr. Ty Hunter with Utah's boating program. Stick around, more fun is on the way here on Western Life Radio. Predator hunting is growing in popularity. We're pulling the trigger on a great excuse to get outside. Next on Western Life Radio.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Snowmobiling, be prepared. Keep your machine in top condition. Always carry a toolkit, first aid kit, emergency supplies, and spare parts. Always let someone know where you're going and when you'll be back. Use the buddy system and never snowmobile alone. This message is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Hunting predators is a great excuse to get outside and bring in a little extra holiday income. Brant Taylor with Taylor Gunsmithing heads outdoors to hear the call of the wild.
It's time to go out hunting Wiley. The pelts will be getting good. That hair is almost 2 inches long on them. There's some good value there, and then there's the bounty on them also. You could make nearly $100 per coyote this winter. There's all kinds of expenses that you can defray a little bit, but there's gas or diesel to get out and to hunt, and ammunition. And be sure and have your GPS or your phone so that you can mark where you got the coyote. They require that now to collect the bounty. I believe you have to take the lower jaw also. Check on the DNR website and find out. If you spend the time, you can make it pay. Everything takes some skill, and if the coyotes have been hunted before, they get pretty smart. If the call's away from you, the attention of the animal isn't going to be on you, so that you can do a little more moving without them seeing you, but not very much. 223 is really popular, 22-250, all of those. And I've killed more coyotes with my 30-06 than anything else, though. I deal with Davidson's. You can see their inventory on galleryofguns.com. If you see something you want there, contact me. I'll give you the price that I can sell it for.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.
Hi, I'm Phil Douglas from the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. Each winter, the DWR conducts sleigh rides to see Rocky Mountain elk at the Hardware Wildlife Management Area, located 17 miles east of Hiram, Utah, in the beautiful Blacksmith Fork Canyon. friendly drivers, powerful draft horses, comfortable sleighs, and up-close experience with the elk make this one of Utah's great wildlife traditions. Visit our website. Oh, what fun it is to ride.
Never drink and ride. Alcohol and snowmobiles do not mix. Alcohol slows down your physical and mental reactions, affecting balance, coordination, and most importantly, judgment. It also greatly reduces your risk of hypothermia. Know how prescription drugs affect you before riding. This information is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Keep yourself safe this winter season. Wear layers to protect yourself from winter's cold. Also keep a hat, scarf, and mittens on hand as essential winter gear. Select footwear appropriate for snow and slush, and be sure to keep extra dry clothing in your vehicle in case you get wet. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio. This year, give the gift of fun. Come to Sportsman's Warehouse to check off your Christmas shopping list. At Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find the gifts that keep on giving. Products your family and friends can use throughout the year in all their outdoor pursuits. Whether their passion is hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, or anything in between, Sportsman's Warehouse has the perfect gift. Still can't decide? A gift card is always a favorite if it's from Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Snowmobile clubs and associations are the root of nearly all snowmobile trails. They work with landowners and government agencies, hold fundraisers, clear brush and downed trees, do trail signing, build bridges, and spend the winter grooming trails. Snowmobile clubs also teach young riders to enjoy the sport safely. Join a club where you ride to help support trails, have fun, and share great experiences. Brought to you by the American Council of Snowmobile Associations and the Federal Highway Administration. Visit snowmobileinfo.org.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hollow State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
Hey, this is Brian Stinson with Be Ready Utah. Today our topic is water treatment. You might have some stored water at home or in an emergency kit, but eventually you're going to run out. You always want to find a source of water that you can treat and make it safe for drinking. When you treat water, there's a multi-part process that you need to go through to make that water safe. The first thing you want to do is find the cleanest water that you can find. Don't just go out to the ditch or a mud puddle and say, let's just clean that. Find the cleanest source of water you can. Usually that's running water or clean snow, rain that's coming out of the sky, something like that. Whatever you can do to find the cleanest water you can find. The next thing you do is step number one, pre-filter. You want to filter that water through a cloth, through cotton, even coffee filters to remove large particles. This keeps your main filter from clogging. The next thing you want to do after the pre-filter is then do your main filter. This is the one that you probably purchased from your outdoor or emergency preparedness store. A lot of commercially purchased filters remove chemicals, sediments, microorganisms, and heavy metal. Most filters do not remove viruses. There's lots of sizes, styles, options, and levels of quality in water filters. So you want to go out and ask your local outdoor or preparedness dealer to help find the filter that's right for you. The last stage of water treatment is purification. This process kills anything that might be left in the water, like those viruses that most filters don't clean out. There's a few different kinds of purification. The most common one and the most effective is actually boiling. A rolling boil for 3 minutes at Utah's average elevation kills all the organisms in the water. Higher elevations than that, you're going to need a longer boiling time. Another thing you want to think about when you're boiling, put a lid on top of it. helps the water to boil faster, and it prevents loss of your water from evaporation. Now, there's other kinds of purification you can do as well. The Scouts always used iodine tablets when I was growing up. It works. It's not as effective as boiling, but you want to be careful with iodine tablets. If you're pregnant or you have an allergy to iodine or have a thyroid problem, you can't use it. And most anybody can't use it for longer than a few weeks. So follow the manufacturer's directions on that. Bleach. Sodium hypochlorite bleach, just your standard bleach you use for using with your laundry. It has about a 1-year shelf life. You can use that for purifying water as well. Only use the unscented, uncolored bleach. Use about 8 drops of water to 1 gallon of untreated water and let it set for about 30 minutes. If it doesn't have a slight bleach smell, repeat that process again with another 8 more drops. Let it sit there for another 30 minutes. And if it doesn't have that slight bleach smell, it's too contaminated and you don't want to use that. So those are some great ways that you can treat water. Remember, it's find the cleanest source you can, pre-filter, filter, then purify the water. For more information, you can visit us at BeReadyUtah.gov. Thank you.
Hey, let's hit the lake. Put on your life jackets and let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I won't drown and I don't have to wear my life jacket? Will I be invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my life jacket too. Anyone can drown, no matter how old they are.
Accidents do happen. Protect yourself and set an example. Wear the proper safety gear when you're on the water. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host of this program. We have Mr. Ty Hunter with us with Utah's boating program. I'm just buzzed still that we have so much moisture still out there in the waterways themselves. I mean, not too many years ago, I stood on the shoreline of Provo Bay and some of these other places that did not have much water on them. There are a lot more water opportunities this time of year than there have been in the past.
Yeah, there are. And maybe we can make a little transition in with the waterfowl hunters. I can tell you the time when I was out on the field and doing enforcement, most of the time the waterfowl hunters are like, seriously, a life jacket? I'm like in ankle deep water. And I'm like, I know. But guess what? You're in a boat and you do hit some deeper water areas and it's the law. And we need to make sure that we want you to have the right equipment on there to take care of. So they're like, we don't want these bright orange ones. Man, they make fairly inexpensive life jackets to very expensive life jackets. Camel patterns. They have shell holders on them. They're out there. And you can get an inflatable one if you wanted to around your waist so you don't have to worry about the bulk around your shoulder area. People will complain that just the gun doesn't seat right. It puts the gun potentially an inch and a quarter away from my shoulder. And I totally understand that. But you can get other jackets that you can place on you and help you. And you only have to deploy those when you need that extra assistance to float.
You're exactly right there. I mean, that makes all the difference in the world. And, you know, the pheasant hunters in the later seasons also have to deal with that with their winter coats. There are workarounds. Utah Lake in particular, I mean, it is a shallow water. Most places you can just jump out the boat and stand on the bottom. But if you're out there when there's a good storm coming out and the wind is running through that area and it starts getting really choppy, the waves will quadruple and it'll totally dwarf you. Life jackets, I would not want to be out there in those conditions without a life jacket, ever.
Yeah, I will say, just not to focus on Utah Lake as a whole, but Utah Lake has been one of our more deadliest lakes, and a lot of the reason is because of the complacency of the individuals that are there. It's like, it's a shallow lake. I can stand up. I did it when I was up in the summer. It's not a big deal. You start to bring in the wave action, and I don't know many people that can sit without a flotation device and deal with wave after wave after wave. And I will tell you that it's a lot different if anybody's ever been in a wave pool where these are man-made generated waves. They're in a much different frequency on Utah Lake, and especially our shallow basin lakes, Utah Lake, Willard Bay, Bear Lake, Great Salt Lake. Great Salt Lake's a little different because of the salt content. But, again, it's another one where that wave frequency is much different than what you could ever imagine it being. And it's scary, and water is extremely powerful, and it doesn't matter what type of an athlete, what type of a swimmer, or how tall you are or whatever. It can beat you down and get you to a situation that you may not make it out. How's that? But the big thing is that we have the positive stuff. There's plenty of opportunities to buy jackets, to buy different type of jackets. You can buy a jacket. You can buy a float coat. There's so many different things that you can do to be able to take care of yourself. A little bit of extra insurance for you to go home at the end of your day.
This time of year, it's also a little challenging because of the temperatures. You're dealing with cold water, much colder water than you're used to, and that, just going overboard, even if it was a calm day, it's still going to get you. Cold will just totally take you by surprise when you fall in.
It definitely will. Most of us really, unless you're one of those folks that like to take the ice bath, good on you. Go enjoy it. There's great health benefits and such that they say about that. But I don't think you want to take an ice bath while you're out there hunting or while you're out there trying to get that, while the fishing's hot in the fall with your cold water. So we want to make sure that people dress for the water temperature, even though the ambient temperature may be higher than that, dress for the water temperature. And then start to think about, how do I react when I go into cold water? All of us have dipped into a cold pool. How's that reaction? What does it do? Those that have had roommates that love to play, or brothers or sisters that like to take the cold Tupperware and dump the ice-cold water on top of you while you're showering, how do you react to that and understand that? And that's where we can start talking about, be prepared. Be prepared not only with your clothing, but be prepared mentally to say, if I went in, this is what I know is going to potentially happen, and my main goal out of this whole deal is, where are my flotation device to get me through that first bit? That first bit is what they call the first minute of that. You'll deal with a bunch of hyperventilation. You can't control it. When you're hyperventilating, your body movements are impaired, and so just a simple thing of treading water or swimming is going to be very hard for you to do. So understand that that's there, and that's why that life jacket is so important. And then after that subsides, then you can start to get a little bit more rhythmic breathing, which will get into the movement of your body movement and be able to either move or swim over or back to your boat, get in that, and then get reboarded back into the boat. We had a little bit of a funny in one of our PSAs. It's like, Tom's 40, 45 years old. He's fallen into the water. But here's the problem is Tom hasn't done a pull-up in 20 years or more. And that's some of the things you need to think of. How do I get myself back into this boat? And that's what everybody needs to be thinking, no matter what temperature there is. How can I get myself back in the boat?
There's a little difference there on the distance there. And it's not easy if you haven't done that before.
Yeah, there's a lot of times where sometimes there's a lot of overexertion trying to get yourself back onto the boat. And sometimes with the cold water hitting, that overexertion, that can lead into that if you're in a risk group, which, you know, Brian, you and I are in that age, I'm probably more so than you. I have a little bit more around the middle. It's a little harder for me to get out of the water. I know that. And I know that I'm going to take certain ways that if I fall overboard on my boat, I know how to get back in it, and I know how to get back in it with the least amount of energy used. And so that's some things to look at. And each boat has their different ways that you can reboard them. And I'm even talking like kayaks, canoes, small little John boats. How do you get back in those? And how do you pull yourself up? Yeah, you can pull yourself up, but then again, your weight becomes more and more and more the more you come out of the water. So you're going to have to learn how to kick. You're going to learn how to put yourself up onto the gunnels of that vessel and pull and kick as much as you can, or have some type of a reboarding ladder or setup that you know you can deploy off of that where you can help yourself get up.
Exactly right. Every different watercraft has its own challenges, and that's something you definitely want to think through mentally before anything happens.
No, and look at it. If you're a waterfowl hunter and you have a dog that's with you, how does the dog reboard the boat? You wait to pull that dog back on board, or do you have an actual ramp for that dog to reboard on? And that could be your way of getting back onto that boat also.
Excellent advice. Speaking of waterfowl hunting, what are some of the biggest challenges, or what are some of the biggest challenges you see out there for waterfowl hunters? I mean, I know we've talked about some of these in the past, but what are some of the things that some waterfowl hunters seem to forget?
So I think the biggest thing is, remember that, yes, you are a hunter and you are partaking of hunting, but if you're out and you didn't walk out to your area and you took some type of a mode, a water conveyance out there, whether it be a kayak, canoe, a john boat, to an airboat, you are a boater. And you need to make sure that you have all the safety equipment that you would if you were out water skiing that day. Take care of yourself. Make sure that you realize that motor transportation, you're changing that hat from hunter to boater, and then you're going to go back to hunter, and then you're going to go to boater again, and then back to hunter going home. And so that's that big deal. Remember to change that hat back and forth, and it's not just all about the hunting. It's getting to and from and getting there safely.
I mean, lights, trailer lights, even lights on the boat itself. A lot of us run into challenges year after year with the wiring. The duck watercraft doesn't get out there for months and months, and then when it does, maybe we didn't take time to figure things out and may end up with some challenges out on the water.
Yeah, and I think I've said this before, but trailer lights, especially old trailers or older trailers, they've been working forever. They're old incandescent lights. One day they're going to go, and it's usually a ground. It's usually some faulty wire somewhere, or it could be a bad bulb. Well, that same thing is going to happen in your boat. Sometimes when you're frustrated, you're like, I'm hooking up, I'm chewing my checks. Usually happens when you're in a hurry, and it really turns into the old days with the Christmas lights. One bulb goes out, and they all go out. And you're trying to figure out where that is and troubleshoot it in a short period of time, in the dark, and it's just not going to work out to your benefit. Check that a couple of days before your hunt. You plan on going hunting, or you plan on going fishing. Check it in the daylight so you can make sure that everything works. That's just some of the things that help you in the long run. That ounce of prevention will give you a pound of cure. That pound of cure, that's what you want. You want to see that outcome. I know when opening days would come up, we're well past that. I can remember being there at 3 o'clock in the morning and making sure that hunters were safe going out. And quite a lot of them did not do that prior testing. Just prior go through to make sure that they had the right equipment. They were in hunt mode. This is it. I just took the tarp off of this thing, and this is what we're going to do, and I know my motor works. So they didn't think about anything else, and then they got turned away from launching that day. And that doesn't make for a great opening hunt. But the whole reason why we were doing that was because we were seeing a lot of issues, and that still occurs now. Is we'll have guys that will be out there at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning at put-ins and making sure that our hunters are out there and being safe. And they will be able to take care of themselves and maybe assist others in the process of being out on the water that day.
I know those boat lights are a big deal, and it's an easy fix sometimes. You can always have a backup in case something else gets messed up elsewhere. Those battery-operated guys can work quite well.
Yeah, you don't even have to hit a store. You can just order it online, have it delivered to your house. Sometimes it's same day. So do that thing of having either a backup or that is your primary. Have some extra batteries available. One thing I'm going to tell you, if you're still using alkaline batteries, then you better make sure that you're taking your batteries out and putting them back in. If you're going to store them in something for a long period of time, that's just proper maintenance. We've all messed up and left alkaline batteries in something that we absolutely loved, that awesome headlamp, that awesome flashlight. Even going back to when we played with toys, we left alkaline batteries in our awesome toys or games, and what happened to them?
They get messed up.
They kind of leaked out. And it's very hard to bring something back from a leaky alkaline battery. So there's that whole maintenance thing that we need to make sure we take care of everything. And I know we all forget, but just understand that that's something you need to be doing days before you go out so you can make sure everything's there and in operation.
Also making sure we don't overload the boat. It's real easy to do in these smaller watercraft. And you get a couple guys out there, you get the dog out there, you get all your equipment, your lunch. Before you know it, you don't have a lot of room between the chop of the water and the top of your boat.
Yep. And then you start putting, okay, well, I'm going to put my blind material on. You got to start thinking, how heavy is that blind material? And, Brian, I seriously have seen situations where boats have been probably no more than an inch, maybe inch and a half, what they call freeboard. And what that freeboard is from the gunnels of the boat, the very tippy top of the sides of the boat, to the waterline. An inch and a half. I mean, literally another John boat could swamp you if they pass even 150 feet away from you. Legally do that, they could swamp you with just a small little wave or ripple of an inch and a half could start to swamp your boat. So that boat, I would say, is overloaded. That's probably one of the bigger issues that we have besides not having the lights, not having a life jacket. Their boats are overloaded. And how do you know if your boat's overloaded or not? There are equations out there. So if you have an older boat, or have a boat that may not have a capacity plate in it, there is a great rule of thumb that you can use. And it is the boat length times the boat width divided by 15 will tell you the number of people that you can have on board. Now, 15 kind of runs out to an average of a 150-pound person. If you're more than a 150-pound person, say you're a 200-pound person, that should be divided by 20. If you're 205, it's probably 21. Just to be a little bit careful, that is just a people, but you can start to gain to see how much capacity that particular boat may be able to hold. The biggest thing is you want as much boat sticking out of the water as you can. That's basically it.
And it doesn't hurt to give yourself a little extra buffer, too. When you think about it, a lot of hunters, at least a lot of ones I know, tend to be over the 200 mark. Bring kids along. Share the boat with them, and that way it gives you a little extra buffer on that side.
You just kind of let into something there. If there's a capacity and it says persons, I got to remember how it states it. If it's persons and or weight, it is one or the other. So once you hit, if it's a capacity of four, you can't do one big guy and six little guys that meets the weight. You're sure. Basically four people, period. Now, that's persons. Your gear, your dog is going to be considered some of your gear. Your coolers, your blind, all that stuff. That's going to be considered your gear and all your decoys and their weights that go in there. So that's the other pieces that you need to be figuring into. You may meet the person's piece, but your gear may well exceed the overall weight that that boat can hold.
Excellent reminders there. People run into that problem all the time.
Yeah, they do with that. So I feel like I've missed a few things. I know we talked about the whole 1 minute of the uncontrolled breathing, the hyperventilation, really being able to try to keep afloat. That's going to be awfully hard for you to keep afloat. That's where most people drown, is in that 1 minute period. They don't succumb to hypothermia. They succumb to the cold water shock and they drowned. So that's why we're trying to push that life jacket and this cold water piece. The other one is that You have up to 10 minutes, maybe a little more depending on what the water temperature is, but around 10 minutes of worthwhile movement. If we've ever been extremely cold, we talk about ice fishing and being out there. You sit out there, the wind's cutting across the ice. You're having a great time, but your hands are cold. It's starting to eat through your layers. You start to get stiff, and your fingers aren't working the best that they can, especially you're clearing the hole out, bringing the fish in. Your hands are getting wet. Then they're getting cold. If you don't have a way to really efficiently heat them, it is harder and harder and harder to do fine things, like put a new lure on, to open a swivel to put that lure on, or to tie a knot onto that new lure. It is awfully hard to do that. Start thinking that cold takes away that fine muscle movement. Well, then it's going to take away the gross muscle movement to where it's just going to be floundering instead of actually being able to use those muscles and have your brain tell those muscles to do the right thing. And so that 10 minutes, that golden time, gets you back into the boat. That's not movement in the water. You have about 10 minutes that you can maybe be in the water, and then you're going to start to have, in essence, the life sucked out of you or the heat sucked out of you from that water. When we go through, I talk about having a jacket. You dress for the water and not the air. You want to plan ahead. I know waterfowl hunters, they love overcast days. They love stormy days. Those birds are down lower. But it's just bad conditions to be able to navigate a boat in, especially a little flat-bottom John boat or an airboat. So that's just things to be aware of. The other one is know how you understand how you're going to react to cold water. Stand in the shower, turn it to cold. See how you react. Understand that. That's a great way of figuring that one out. And then if you have a fellow hunter or somebody else that you're out with that needs assistance, remember that you're going to try to do the reach. You're going to do a throw if you have something to throw towards them to help them back. You're going to try to get that boat over to them, do that row or motor that boat over towards them, and then be careful. Don't go in the water because that's probably going to increase the amount of victims that we would have to deal with for the rescuers.
I'm glad you brought that up. As we come into ice fishing season, as we come into the end of the season of boating, where do they go? Where do they get started? Where's the launch ramp?
I think first of all, go to boating.utah.gov. So we have an email that is boating@utah.gov, and our website is www.boating.utah.gov.
Real easy to get to. You can find links on our website, too, as well, folks. WesternLifeRadio.com. Anything else you want to wrap up with, Ty?
No, I think we covered quite a bit. I just want to make sure people stay safe, enjoy the holiday times, and have that great time with your families and loved ones, and get ready for the next boating season.
I sure am looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to a great ice fishing season, continuing into the waterfowl season as well. This is a fun time of year. Mr. Ty Hunter with Utah's Boating Program, I certainly want to thank you for taking time with us.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate everybody out there, and just stay safe and have a great time with your families.
A major research study is now underway at the Hardware Ranch. We're checking the herd health next on Western Life Radio.
I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year, and while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
We'll be right back.
Be safe this winter driving season. Keep your vehicle's fuel tank over half full in case you get stranded on one of Utah's highways. Check tires for proper inflation and tread, and check windshield wipers and washer fluid levels. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
Become a certified good guy or gal. Get your concealed firearms permit. TaylorGunsmithing.com.
The Hardware Ranch is hosting a major research project that could affect the future of herd health. Brad Hunt with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources has the latest news.
One of our biggest concerns with disease and wild elk is brucellosis. It's a bacterial disease that can cause the abortion of the calf fetus, and it's highly transmissible through the mucous membranes. Anytime like another cow or other elk would come into contact with that aborted fetus with its birthing fluids, it can contract that bacteria, get that disease, and then it is now infected as well. So it's a pretty big concern, and so we began collaring the female elk, the cows, to see exactly where they are going as they migrate throughout the year. Where do they go in the spring, in the summer? Are they interacting with elk from neighboring states? What's the potential for risk of transmission bringing that disease in from these other states that do have infected elk? Right now, Utah has no infected elk with brucellosis that we're aware of, and we want to see what that potential is. So we're going to continue that this year up here in northern Utah. We're collaring elk at Hardware. There are going to be the biologists who will be collaring elk in other parts of the cache unit.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff. Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends on Skype. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Put on your helmet. Let's go.
But, Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet, too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
This year, give the gift of fun. Come to Sportsman's Warehouse to check off your Christmas shopping list. At Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find the gifts that keep on giving. Products your family and friends can use throughout the year in all their outdoor pursuits. Whether their passion is hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, or anything in between, Sportsman's Warehouse has the perfect gift. Still can't decide? A gift card is always a favorite if it's from Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse, take it outside.
Shadows cast, it raises our spirits like warm glowing embers with tales of adventure invoked from the past. He's hunting and fishing in marshes and mountains, discovering life in
you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.